Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Listening to Battlefield Expressions. I'm your host, Rob Burrows, director for the Northern California Veterans Museum, United States Navy Seabees, Iraqi veteran, two combat tours, and I want to welcome you this morning. We have a very good program, and I just want to let you know that we are still having our Christmas, sending our packages to the troops on December 4th, and that's coming up. It's right around the corner. It'll be at the VFW Hall in Anderson, and that is 3210 West Center Street in Anderson, December 4th. It'll be from 1 in the afternoon till 6 p.m. We'll have lunch there for you, and the admission is $10 for adults, $8 for students with an ID, and children 12 and under are free. And that admission covers the food, but it also helps cover part of the shipping that we'll be shipping those boxes overseas. So I want to let you know that we are still collecting items for the program, and we will be open the week before December 4th every single day. So we'll be there to be able to receive those items in and to make sure we get them. We're going to be closed that Friday between Thanksgiving and the weekend. So I want to let you know we will not be there on that Friday. We want you to be able to come in the next week. And if you have any questions, you can call my cell phone. It is 510-8210, 510-8210. You can call the museum office and leave a message, and I'll get back to your call. And the number at the museum office is 378-2280. 378-2280. The drop-off for these items is the museum office, and that's 2110 North Street. It's at the four-way stop right across the street from New Tech High School. I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you out there, but if you have any information or any questions, we'd like to be able to answer those for you. We are still short on items being donated for the troops, and so I'd like to encourage you to be able to go out and buy toiletries and nuts and jerkies and different things that we can send overseas, about the size of a hotel type of toiletry, the smaller containers, because the bigger containers you can't put in your pack or your backpack or in your gear because it's so big you don't have room for that. And it's too heavy also for like shampoos and liquids. So we want to remind you that we're still looking for those items, and we'd like to encourage you to help donate to this program. These opportunities are for us to say thank you to those that are serving around the world right now. If you just listen to the news, you heard that the United States Navy is still out there in the South China Sea and dealing with China right now and their issues. So we have a lot of sailors and Marines that are out there on board ship right now that are going to be there for the holidays. And this is our opportunity to send these boxes of thank yous to them. We'd also like to encourage you to write a letter of thanks or a note of thanks. You can deliver these items right up to the event, which is December 4th. We really want to make sure that our military personnel that are serving around the world right now know that we as American citizens at home care and we're thinking about them. Believe me, when you've been out to sea or you've been in country or you've been deployed for a great period of time, morale can go up and morale can go down. And when you get a box from somebody that you don't know and there's a letter of encouragement in there, there's some goodies and things like that that they can utilize, believe me, it lifts the spirits, especially at Christmas time. And so we want to encourage you to do that. If you have children, have them write a letter to the troops. Have them trace their handprint and color it in. And those items from the kids are, I still have letters that I received while I was there from children, and they're part of my deployment box that I haven't even gone back into for years. It's there, and I know they're there. I know what they look like, and those are very encouraging to me. I had three or four of them on my wall in my hoots there in Fallujah, and I come back from a mission or whatever else and see those, and it's like, you know, that's encouraging, you know, even though everything is literally going to hell in a handbasket around you with the war. Those little things make all the difference in the world. So we want to encourage you to be able to do that. Once again, the museum office phone number is 378-2280, and my cell phone is 510-8210. This morning, we also have a food drive going on, and that's at Save Mart, and that is over off of Churn Creek next to the new In-N-Out Burger. And that is today. It started 8 this morning. It's going to go till 8 o'clock tonight. I'll be there this afternoon. And we'll be encouraging folks to make donations to buy groceries or items for the troops. Once again, we'll be feeding 100 families, military families, this next week for Thanksgiving. And then we'll be feeding another 100 families at Christmas time. And we have a lot of families. And this includes elderly veterans and widows, too, military widows. It's our opportunity to make sure that our military families and our veterans are appreciated and they know that we care about them. A lot of them, they struggle just like everybody else, but a lot of military personnel don't ask for help. They're used to doing things on their own, and sometimes that can be very difficult for them to ask for help, but this is an opportunity. We work in conjunction with the Veterans Clinic, and so they know that as the veterans come through, there are certain veterans that have a greater need than others, and those are the families that we try to help support and take care of at the holiday season. So we're taking care of our young veterans, our older veterans and their spouses, and then we're taking care of our young troops that are serving around the world right now. And how important it is for us to continue that mission. I know that when I was doing my second tour in Iraq, once again, you'd come back from your mission or whatever you're doing, and there'd be a box from the mail there for you. And you'd grab that, and you'd take it back. And it was just so encouraging to be able to open up. Sometimes it was from my family, and sometimes it was just from a total stranger that had sent it to the unit, gotten the address. We need your addresses, too. If you have a family member that's deployed, that are out there, that are serving, if they're not going to be home, they're at a base in the United States, and they're not going to be home, let us know. We'll go ahead and ship it to the base so at least they get something from our community. It's always great to get something from home, but when you get something from the community, that lets them know that it's not just their family that cares. It lets them know that the community cares, whether it's our community or somewhere else. We just want to make sure that we make sure that they appreciate the fact that we appreciate them and they know that we care. And, you know, when you're, like I said, when you're a long way from home, every little bit counts. I just want to let you know this last week we've been very, very busy as usual. We had a World War II Quonset hut donated to us. It was located off Palisades Street right there above the bluffs next to I-5. And it was originally put in World War II. It was a building that was utilized by the observation post, the civilian observation post that watched the aircraft fly into Benton Airport and fly into the Reading Airport. And they were looking for enemy aircraft. And so that was installed in 1942 time frame. And the Navy Seabees installed that back at the very beginning in 42. And then myself and another CB and some volunteers, we took it down the other day, bolt by bolt, nut by nut, screw by screw, literally, and have saved that. We're going to go through, clean it up, preserve it. And that World War II Quonset hut is going to be on the museum property, the museum campus, as we put together the first portion of the property. And so I just want to let you know that we have received our full complement and approval from the state of California for the well for the museum property, the water well, and also from Shasta County Health Services. And that has been a 2.5-year project. You wonder why it takes so long. It took us 2.5 years to get our water certified. It is a private well for public use. And so we are our own water supply entity in Shasta County. Let me tell you, in the state of California, that is very, very hard to accomplish. In Shasta County, we're probably one of a handful of private wells for public use. And so now we have a standalone water system for the museum and for the campus there as we move forward. That was a major hurdle for us, which is a great big attaboy for the museum staff and for the museum as we continue to move forward. And so things are happening. It takes time, but things are happening. We're dealing with some other issues. with environmental health as far as the septic system goes and getting all that taken care of, making sure that we have all the proper documentation to make that happen. The things are moving forward, and we're grateful for that. And once again, we are thankful for those who support the museum as we continue to move forward. And so we're not giving up. We're moving forward, and we thank you for all of your support as we continue to move forward to build this museum and honor our veterans, all of our veterans who have served since the inception of the United States. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
This is RC with today's Cigar of the Month. Present with us is the Partagas Cortado. Wrapped in an elegant Ecuadorian Connecticut seed leaf, the bold 8-inch long Presidente is a soft smoke. Perfect with coffee after breakfast, the Partagas Cortado reaches sublime notes of creamy, spicy, and mineral-rich deliciousness. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, 2143 Hilltop, Redding, California.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win. When our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. I want to invite you to our annual packages for the troops, December 4th. Join us from 1 to 6 p.m. at the VFW Hall in Anderson on Center Street. $10 for adults, $8 for students with ID. Children 12 and under are free. Admission covers costs for lunch and partial shipping for a box. And hey, while you're out there buying Halloween candy, buy an extra bag for the troops. You can drop donations off every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices located at 2110 North Street in Anderson, or bring it to the event December 4th. Again, this year I want to remind you, Homeward Bound is providing Thanksgiving and Christmas meals for military families in need during these holidays. You can donate canned goods, hams or turkeys, or gift cards. Again, drop off for your donation is every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices on North Street. For more information, call Rob Burrows at 530-510-8210. And thank you for your support.
Who have walked
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. I'm Rob Burrows as your host this morning. And our guest this morning is Andrew Tuggle, United States Army. And, you know, we're sitting here whenever we play a theme song. You know, when we used to take the World War II veterans back to Washington, D.C., yeah. They would play the medley. And so I learned the words to all the different songs. I, you know, you never remember all of them per se. But, you know, Andrew's sitting here singing that song. You know, you have to learn it through boot camp, and then you have to learn it through other things that you do. Had to relearn all the different songs and everything when I made Chief Petty Officer, going through initiation and all different kinds of fun things, if you want to look at them that way. And so, good morning, Andrew.
Yeah, good morning.
Andrew is the Veteran Service Officer for Simpson University. And so we'll be talking about Simpson University and their veterans program toward the end of the program. But right now we're talking about Army. Well, you're Sergeant, weren't you? Sergeant?
I was.
Sergeant.
Correct.
So we're talking to U.S. Army Sergeant and Andrew Tuggle. And we're going to be talking about your experience this morning. I want to thank you for being here and taking the time. Andrew and I were on a Zoom program for the American Veterans Program this last Wednesday night with KIXC PBS Channel 9. And so a shout out to Channel 9 for being able to put that program together for the American veteran.
It was awesome.
There was five of us that were on the panel there, and we were able to talk about the different situations that were in the American Veteran Program sponsored by the Northern California Veterans Museum and Channel 9, and to be able to put that out there. We feel with the museum how important it is for us to be able to help bring programming like that into our community and to let other veterans know, hey, we may not have the main museum building open, but we support our veterans in a multiple area of media and community support and things like that. And so, Andrew, this morning as we talk, I'd like to just have you start off with talking about just before you went into boot camp, some of the influences in your life, whether it be family members or friends who encouraged you to join the Army, and then we'll kind of go into your boot camp experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you again for having me on.
You're welcome.
So, you know, as I start thinking about the past and what really drew me to joining the Army was really the fact that I told myself I wouldn't join. You know, it was this initial thought of, hey, my dad was in the Army. My dad always told me, and my mom always told me how much, you know, they didn't want me to join. And as I went through college, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life. And it was really a career choice that really drew me to the Army. You know, I wanted to do CIA, FBI investigations. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what's my fastest path? What's a path that's going to get me where I want to go to? And it was the military. So I joined the ROTC program at Simpson University back in 2010. And unfortunately for me, the program shut down the day before I was going to commission for the United States Army.
I still don't understand that. I mean, the day before, you know, that just makes me upset that they didn't go one more day and make sure you guys were taken care of.
It was pretty interesting how it happened. You know, we had a graduating class, maybe 5 to 6 people for the year that I would have graduated. And everybody else afterwards, there was one person that graduated. So as they went through to shut down the program, they had all these people through the pipeline to get commissioned through the Army, through ROTC. And they just completely said, you know what? Simpson's costing too much. So we're going to nix this program, and we're just going to carry on with just UC Davis and Sacramento State.
So that didn't come from Simpson University. They came from higher up.
Correct. They came from the Army. So, you know, it was a...
That would have been enough to discourage me to say, you know what, whatever, Army, I don't want to be a part of your program if this is how you're
going to
treat
it. It was tough. You know, I was going to PT 3 times a week, doing labs on Thursdays, 6 a.m. every single week, and
you were going to pass.
And I was going to pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, passed my PT test, was ready to commission.
Basically, you did pass. They just didn't hand you that certificate in those butter bars.
Yep. So... I still had about a year of school left, 2 years of school left when that happened. And, I just, you know what? I didn't make it through the ROTC program, which is okay because, I would have never been where I was.
Your life took a different direction.
It definitely did.
Yeah.
I graduated college, was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I had bachelor's in psychology, still wanted to do investigations and do CIA, FBI type of stuff. And I said, you know what? Here it is. I'm gonna join the Intel community for the military. And I went to MEPS very first time. I came out with MP and I was like, okay, hold my spot. I can't remember what it was. I think it was an allergy to amoxicillin that kept me from being an MP in the military. And I didn't have the paperwork from my recruiter to ship me off that day. So, I had to go back, wait for the recruiter to get it. Went back, they didn't have MP, but they had Intel. And I was like, well, all right, you know, it's something that was just meant to be.
So amoxicillin wouldn't allow you to become an MP in the Army, but allowed you to go into the Intel.
Right.
I don't completely understand that either.
Well,
I mean,
it wasn't
just boot you for the whole program.
Right. So it wasn't exactly keeping me from it. I just didn't have the right paperwork to show that I had the allergy. So I had to come back another day. To show that paperwork.
And it closed that fast. Wow.
Yep.
So you had some almost kind of divine intervention in your life from the very beginning, causing you to go different routes.
You know, it's I don't know how this keeps happening, but it just does. You know, it's something's driving my life that I don't have any control over, and I'm fine with it. You know, and that's part of the reason why I'm here at Simpson. You know, it's something drove me here. And here I am, and it's same thing with the military. I joined the Intel community back in 2012, and from there it was just, you know, my career just kind of skyrocketed from there.
So when you were in boot camp, did they have was that anything separate from the other boots that were there, or did everybody went through boot camp together, and then from there you took off and went to your A school?
Correct. So we have. I want to say 5 or 6, maybe it's 4 or 5 different locations for boot camp. So I was at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. We had people from EOD, people from different Intel communities, people that were going off for National Guard. We had 09 Sierras, which is our officer candidates guys that were coming through. We just kind of had everybody. It's a kind of a one-stop shop for, specific jobs
categories.
In the military.
Yeah. So it wasn't like infantry.
Nope.
Yeah.
That would have been a Fort Benning.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask is the different locations for the different schools and things,
yep.
Your different MOSs, your military operational school.
Correct, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, we went through boot camp and then we went off to AIT and I was at Fort Huachuca, Arizona.
So whereabouts is that located at?
So it's about 30 minutes from the border of Mexico. So it's way down south.
Is it south of Phoenix?
South of Tucson.
So it's Tucson. Okay.
Yeah. So it's very, very far south.
Very hot and dry.
Up in the mountains, actually.
Is
so
it
we
really?
Get, we get snow.
Oh, okay.
Over there.
Well, that sounds like that was pretty interesting being there.
Yeah. So I was there for 5 months, and then a little bit of time afterwards because I essentially, you know, I graduated boot camp, kind of under the radar, went into my AIT. Which for Intel school, and I was a student first sergeant. So I was kind of the guy that everybody hated, but I was in charge of 2 platoons. Everybody called me student first. And, you know, I had this idea. I met somebody that was in a program, and I just set my eyes on it, and that's what I wanted to do.
So you were, what were you when you were there? So you were E3?
I was E4.
E4, okay. Yeah, but as a student first sergeant.
Right.
So I'm not sure exactly how that works. So basically, you're in the Navy, you'd be like a lead petty officer, an LPO, in charge
right.
of everybody.
Yep. So we had 2 platoons that were going through their AIT schools, and we had 1 student that would be in charge of each platoon, and 1 student that would be in charge of everybody. And that was me. I just had my eyes set of what I wanted to do, and this was just kind of my path. It was I needed to stand out, and this was one of the ways.
So were you an honor student? I mean, how did you end up in that position, the position like that?
To be honest, I took it.
You just, they wanted, they kind of asking for a volunteer, and you were there.
Yeah, we had somebody kind of bail out of it, and I just walked into the shoes and said, you know, I'm taking it. This is my job now.
You know, when I was in the Navy, I volunteered for every single thing because I figured the only way I'm going to learn and have, the, like yourself, have a career is to volunteer when nobody else wanted to step up.
Yep.
Our guest this morning is Andrew Tuckle, Simpson University Veteran Service Office, United States Army. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's get rid of honey. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy Holidays.
Fabulous fall specials going on now at High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, also in Roseville and Petaluma. High Noble Safe Company has fireproof and waterproof safes. Protect your guns, cash and valuables, heirlooms and collectibles, and important documents. With delivery, moving and repair service available in Redding, Roseville and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050 or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
December 4th, join us as we send packages to the troops all over the world for the holidays. Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. From 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday the 4th, join us for our annual packages for the troops at the VFW Hall on Center Street in Anderson. $10 adults, $8 students with student ID. Children 12 and under free. Admission covers costs for lunch and partial shipping for a box. And hey, if you have leftover Halloween candy, donate it and we'll put it in the packages. You can drop off donations between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Fridays at the museum offices, 2110 North Street in Anderson, or bring it to the event December 4th. Again, this year I want to remind you, Homeward Bound is providing Thanksgiving and Christmas meals for military families in need during the holidays. You can donate canned goods, hams or turkeys, or gift cards. Again, drop off for the donation is every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices on North Street. For more information, call Rob Burrows at 530-510-8210. And thank you for your support.
I've got a bright red sticker on the back of my car. Says United States Marines. And yesterday a lady in a minivan held up her middle finger at me. Does she think she knows what I stand for? or the things that I believe. Just by looking at a sticker for the U.S. Marines on the bumper of my SUV. See my brother Chris, he's been in for more than 14 years now. Our dad was in the Navy during Vietnam, did his duty, then he got out. And my grandpa earned his Purple Heart on the beach of Normandy. That's why I've got a sticker for the U.S. Marines on the bumper of my SUV. But that doesn't mean that I want war. I'm not Republican or Democrat, but I've gone all around this crazy world just to try to better understand. And yes, I do have questions. I get to ask them because I'm free. That's why I've got a sticker for the U.S. Marines on the bumper of my SUV. 'Cause I've been to Hiroshima, and I've been to the DMZ. I've walked on the sand in Baghdad, still don't have all of the answers I need. But I guess I wanna know where she's been before she judges and gestures to me. 'Cause she don't like my sticker for the U.S. Marines on the bumper of my SUV.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And, you know, that's one of my favorite songs. Bumper of my SUV, and sometimes the question comes about is, does that really happen? And when I'm driving the museum truck, it has all of the museum, all of the military insignias on it, and it says, you know, land of the free because of the brave and everything else. And there have been times when I have people, when I'm pulling the truck and the trailer and they have all the flags and everything on it, that I've had people try to run me off the road, drive by, honk, and shake their fist at me. I've been flipped off before because I've been, you know, drive the military vehicle, honoring our men and women who wear the uniform, all of them, from the beginning to the end. And so that actually does happen out there. And so, I think it's a really cool song. And it talks about the fervor of where we were. I have walked the sands of Baghdad, and many, many times actually. And so, people have no idea where the military personnel have been, where they've served, what they've done, what they've experienced, what they've seen, the fear, the fright, the pain, the ugliness of war. It's all there. And, they live their life at home. They go to the store. They dress the way they want. They eat what they want. They have whatever it is that they want. They have no idea the sacrifices that our military men and women make as they serve around the world in our, and right now that we're semi-retired and now the service in our stead. They are there in our stead. They're there and we are not. And, when I first got home, I felt really guilty about that. I should be back there doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But now carrying on new missions. The new mission is here to take care of our veterans here at home and continue to help preserve our freedom here at home and to make sure that those who have served our nation know that they did not serve in vain and that we would not have what we have at home. Our way of life in the United States, even so, some days it just seems like it's upside down and backwards. It's better than anywhere else in the world, better than anywhere else in the world. what we have here in the United States. And that's our way of saying thank you to those who have preserved that. And carry on. Right now we're going to go to Michelle Quistorf. She is the director for Homeward Bound, the advocate, and she is at Save Mart right now. We're having a holiday food drive there. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Chief.
Hey, how's it going down there?
It's going good. We are getting people donating turkeys and holiday meals and some funding for the rest of the food, as well as for some of the items for the packaging for the troops event.
Now, Save Mart's a new grocery store here in town, and they have been gracious enough to allow us to do a food drive there. And we want to say thank you to Save Mart for stepping up and helping us to do this, and also to be able to take care of our military families, and also the food that's going to be shipped overseas to our troops. Is there anything you want to say to the folks out there about Save Mart there?
They've been awesome, and actually Sarah is one of the managers, just walked out here. If you want to say hi to her, she is the one that helped me get this together for Homeward Bound. So hang on just a second.
Thanks.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm well, thank you. We're on the air right now. Yes. I just want to say thank you to you and Save Mart for stepping up and allowing us to be able to be outside your store and be able to get the food donations and things like that. We really appreciate you supporting our military personnel in our community.
Oh, absolutely. I just appreciate that you guys reached out to us. Military is near and dear to my heart, so super happy that we could be a part of it.
Well, thank you very much once again, and we'll be out there from 8 this morning, obviously, until 8 p.m. this evening, and then this is for our Thanksgiving drive. We'll be doing it again in a couple of weeks for Christmas also, so thank you for allowing us to do that.
Yes, thank you so much. You guys have a great day, and we'll see you down here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, that was like perfect timing, Chief.
Hey, well, that's what we're all about, right?
Yes. So they've been amazing to us. The people are super friendly and kind here, and they've been extremely helpful to try and help us get some of these items donated for our families here in the North State area. And so far, the food that's in the turkeys and the ice chests and everything is holding down the tent because it is windy down here.
All right. Well, that's a good thing then. All right. Well, thank you very much. We'll be talking to you in the next hour again. We'll get another update. And then the Harley-Davidson riders from Cottonwood and the American Legion out of Cottonwood are going to be there probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and they will be bringing more turkeys and more groceries and things that they've collected, and they're going to be purchasing more items from Save Mart. If you haven't been to Save Mart, we encourage you to go down there and check out that new store. We also encourage you to buy some groceries and help donate to the program as we continue to take care of our military families, young and old, here in our community. Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks, Chief. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
So once again this morning, here in our studios, our guest this morning is Andrew Tuggle, United States Army, the Veteran Service Officer for Simpson University. And we're talking about your career in the United States Army. And we were just talking about your AIT, which is Army Infantry Training.
No, it's our advanced individual training. Advanced. I think that's right.
Okay. Well, I definitely got that wrong then, because I'm Navy, so I'm still learning the acronyms for the Army. So.
Yeah. So, going through basic training, going through AIT, being a student first sergeant, I kind of had my eyes set on one specific thing, and it was this thing called Quick Start. And, Quick Start was this pathway that, doesn't really exist in any other place, but it's essentially a pathway to working for a CENTCOM JSOTF, which is a Joint Special Operations Task Force, doing intel work.
So when you talk about special operations, you're talking about individuals from each branch of military that come together and become a team that are part of your intel community.
Correct, correct. So I worked with people from all different branches in the United States, all different alphabet suits from the United States, military people from many different countries. So it was just kind of just a whole intel community all working together.
So when what was some of the training, if you could talk about it, that you had to do to get ready to go to Iraq for your mission?
Yeah, so some of the training really was what we call kind of QRF, Quick Reaction Force.
Okay.
So
that's the same as the Marine Corps.
Yep. So, essentially, I was working a mission and, needed to be in country. So, that's kind of where we you know, we needed to be more boots on ground, need to be with some of the intel guys that were in country and kind of get more relevant information so I can continue to pass it up and make the correct decisions for the mission.
I think a lot of people, that they don't realize that even though that you have a position that may not be a frontline combat position, that anytime you're sent into a combat zone, because Balad was a combat zone,
yep.
And that's northern Iraq, correct?
Correct.
And so you have to be able to do everything, because if when you convoy in, if you don't fly in and it hits the fan, you need to be able to defend yourself and those around you so you can get your butts together and get back inside the wire for your protection. Hey, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll carry on this in just a minute as we return.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%. And as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR. Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody!
Where our brothers are dying for others who don't.
from a war. The very next morning, I took a walk through the neighborhood. I thought it's been so long since I've been in a place where everything is good. People laughing and children were playing. And as I watched them, I found myself praying. Lord, keep them safe here at home in the land of the free. Just came back from a place where they hated me and everything I stand for. A land where our brothers are dying for others who don't even care anymore. If I'm not the same little freckle-faced boy that grew up in that house next door.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning is Andrew Tuggle, United States Army, and he is the Veteran Service Officer for Simpson University. And I want to say thank you again for being here this morning, and thank you for your service. He's served out of Balad, Iraq. What was the time frame you were deployed over there?
End of 2014.
So that was almost 7 years after I had come back in 2007. Yep. So, you know, they had closed down Fallujah, Camp Fallujah, in 2011, 2012. And so, were you there at the very close of the war?
I was kind of there at the start of a bigger fight from in northern Iraq with the Kurds and Iraqis.
So were the Syrians involved at that time?
Yep.
So it was the Kurds and the Syrians, and so everything to the north basically was the next step of that situation.
Yep.
And then when you pulled out of there, then the ISIS kind of went back in there at that after that point and took over that whole area.
Yeah. So that was kind of the big fight was ISIS. That was kind of my main enemy as I was over there. So, you know, I went over there for special missions and specific people and as well helping out with part of that war that they had going on in North Iraq.
So I'm just to explain to the folks, Northern Iraq boards, the Kurdish area, mm-hmm. and then Syria is on the other side, and then Turkey's right next to Syria and, the country. What's the country for the Kurds is Kurdistan?
Yeah.
Kurdistan.
Or, you know, I can't remember.
I'm trying to think of the map in my head.
Yeah.
Because it's Jordan, Syria, and then it goes up towards Turkey and then Kurdistan or something like that right there on the border, the north border, and then Iran is right there. And so, you know, used to look at that map every day, and I knew where all the borders were and everything else. You know, I've been all the way out to the Syrian border and then all the way down to TK down to actually KV, Korean Village, down the Jordanian border all the way down there. So, you mean we outskirts everything except Iran, but we were at the very beginning of the war. You looked across the Afghan Peninsula, and that's Iran right there. I mean, you could see Iran when we were traveling up MSR-8 going to, into Idiwania and Anasiriya and all through that area up through there. And so, crazy stuff. Especially when you can think back to those different convoy places where you're at, and you can see what the country was and along the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, where they come together in Baghdad to the grain zone and all of that. You talk to some people and they can't think or imagine what that area is. I mean, part of where we convoyed through was Al-Khalaq, which is where, Tower of Babel was, and King Nebuchadnezzar's, castle, his kingdom was right there. And Saddam Hussein built a large palace right there on the ruins of King Nebuchadnezzar because he wanted to be the modern day Nebuchadnezzar.
He was the new king.
He was. And so, it was really interesting. One of the things, you know, everybody says, oh, we went to war for oil, or we went to war for, weapons of mass destruction, but, let me remind you that when we were there in 2003, we were uncovering mass graves where Saddam Hussein and his Republican Guard went in. And for those communities that didn't want to fall in line with him and his dictatorship, they would take all of the men outside and just machine gun them on the side of the road. And then we'd just come back in, either let them rot or they would mass grave, cover them up with tractors or bulldozers, or even by hand sometimes.
And it was the same in 2014, 2015. You know, they actually would publish a magazine once a month with all the people that they had killed. And, you know, ISIS would just kind of put this out and throw it out to the community and say, hey, here we are. These are the good things that we're doing for our cause.
For their cause.
And, man, it was, you know, just graves and graves and holes and holes and holes of American soldiers and of locals. And everything, just
news reporters,
everything, just piles and piles of bodies.
You know, I think that some people don't want to hear that. Some people don't want to listen to that. Some people don't want to accept that, but that's the facts. And from being there, from when I was there and you were there, that was the stark reality of what we were seeing every single day. We were seeing things like that
every single day. You know, it's a funny thought to say, hey, we went over there for one reason, but when you get over there and you say, there is evil here, and we need to get rid of it.
Some people don't believe that there's evil out there. They have no idea because they've never seen it face to face or eye to eye. There were times when we traveled in a convoy between Fallujah and Baghdad, and the night, because we traveled at night, and the night was so thick with, I don't know what you want to call it, oppression. You would travel through certain areas of the country, and even though the air was clear and you could see the stars, the air was thick with oppression as you drove through certain areas. It was creepy. It was eerie. It was, it definitely tested your faith because you could feel that eeriness as you were traveling through that area. And, you know, I keep my guys on a heightened awareness as we went through those areas. And it was something that I had never experienced before in my life. It was like driving through a dark alley and knowing that somebody's standing there waiting to put a knife in your back. That's what it, and you just, your cockles of your neck are on edge, and that's where the adrenaline comes in. I mean, you're just amped up. And, to be able to literally make it from one location to the next and still live and talk about it, sometimes night by night, was tough enough as it was.
You know, and you guys, you know, back in 2003 and on, making these convoys through these towns, and I'm sitting here watching it from inside the wire saying, man, I applaud these guys. These guys are making sacrifices every single day that I'm not having to make, and they are, and it's, you know, it was my job to make sure some of those guys came home. It was my job to make sure they had the most proper intel to make sure they're safe. And, you know, it's a great thing to see somebody make it from one place to another over there during that time frame.
Well, I'm a firm believer that it was, we only came home because of the grace of God. There's no other way at times with the things that we're subjected to that we could make it back from the situations we were in with enemy action and vehicle breakdowns in the middle of nowhere where you knew the enemy was watching you and everything else. We're getting ready to take a break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Andrew Tuggle from Simpson University, Veteran Service Officer. We'll be right back.
He said, Mama, I know you have a lot of plans for me. College in the fall, hey, I'm almost 18. I've been doing lots of thinking about a lot of stuff.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jeremy House. The buildup of Russian troops near the Ukraine border has left U.S. officials perplexed. Some Republican lawmakers have been pressing the Biden administration to step up military support for Ukraine. Protesters in Oregon damaged buildings reacting to the verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Police in Portland, Oregon declared a riot Friday night during a downtown demonstration against the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse, a teen whose attorneys argued self-defense after he killed two people and injured another with an AR-style semi-automatic rifle during a protest in Wisconsin in August of 2020. Just before 9 p.m., about 200 protesters gathered and blocked streets. Within a few minutes, local outlets reported that protesters started breaking windows and talking about burning down the Justice Center. Police tweeted that objects were being thrown at police and doors of city facilities in the area were damaged. Portland has seen ongoing, often violent protests after the murder of George Floyd last year by police in Minneapolis. I'm Jennifer King.
Democratic leaders in Congress continue to press ahead on President Biden's big domestic policy bill. However, Heritage Foundation policy analyst David Ditch believes lawmakers are wasting their time. Ditch says the Build Back Better bill is full of gimmicks which hide the true cost of the package.
If you were to take all of the spending and tax credit provisions in this package and extend it out just to 10 years, the cost would be somewhere between $4 and $5 trillion.
Ditch spoke with the Salem Radio Network. Authorities in the southern Indian state of Andhra Pradesh say at least 17 people have died. Dozens are reported missing after days of heavy rains. The state has been struck by intense storms since Thursday, sparking massive floods in at least five districts. And Pakistan's Media Regulatory Authority has again lifted a ban on the popular Chinese video sharing service TikTok. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You were lied to when buying a timeshare and worn out? You need my help. Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started the timeshare cancellation industry by exposing the ugly truth about timeshare and giving folks the straight facts. I've been fighting the timeshare giants ever since, so no one knows this industry better than me and my team. Today, we have 383 employees and have saved our clients an average of $65,000 in lifetime payments. Imagine putting those timeshare dollars back in your pocket. If you were told in a timeshare presentation that this was available today and today only, that timeshare was a great investment, or your maintenance fees will never go up, call my office now. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-969-5511. 800-969-5511. 800-969-5511.
An employee of Chinese state TV has posted photos of missing tennis star Peng Shuai. Correspondent Karen Chamis reports.
The move comes as more and more people are voicing concern over Shuai's disappearance after she accused the senior leader of sexual assault. The photos appeared on Twitter. The state TV employee wrote that Peng had posted them herself on the WeChat message service. China's ruling Communist Party is under increasing pressure to prove that Peng is safe and able to speak freely. Peng disappeared shortly after posting a statement on social media accusing former Vice Premier Zhang Gaoli of forcing her to have sex with him, despite repeated refusals. I'm Karen Chamas.
Poland's Prime Minister says he'll hold a series of talks in Europe about the pressure of migrants on the European Union's border with Belarus, a crisis that he expects will continue. News and analysis at townhall.com. America's top defense officials vowed to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon and to counter its use of suicide drones.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's comments in Bahrain at the annual Manama dialogue appeared aimed at reassuring America's Gulf Arab allies as the Biden administration tries to revive the nuclear deal, which limited Iran's enrichment of uranium in exchange for the lifting of economic sanctions.
The United States remains committed to preventing Iran from gaining a nuclear weapon. And we remain committed to a diplomatic outcome of the nuclear issue. But if Iran isn't willing to engage seriously, then we will look at all the options necessary to keep the United States secure.
I'm Julie Walker.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Senegal, where he's wrapping up a week-long three-nation tour of Africa. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Been home about 6 months now, and I still have my doubts. Well, I'm not sure how I got here or how I'm gonna get out. Well, my mama says I look the same as I did before I left. But if she could see inside me, it would scare her to death. Well, I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun. And I can hear my sergeant screaming, run, soldier, run. And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton. And I see death in every single thought. Well, they taught me how to put that uniform on. I just can't get it off. Last Saturday they honored us in a small parade downtown. And when they shot off those fireworks, I nearly hit the ground. And while they smiled and cheered for us, all I could do was stare. Cause part of me is here at home, but part of me is back home. Well, I can still taste from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, run, soldier, run. And I can feel the backpack on my shoulder, got it weighed a ton. And I see death in every single thought. They taught me how to put that ear. I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun. And I can hear my sergeant screaming, run, soldier, run. And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton. The devil's won some battles, and he may win some more. But don't he know the American soldier will always win the war?
Good
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expression. Senior Chief Rob Burrows here. I'm your host this morning. Our guest is Andrew Tuggle, United States Army and Iraqi veteran. And Andrew, once again, thank you for being here. We were talking about Balad, and we were talking about you doing your intel with your intel community there out of Balad. And I was asking you, I know that when they were in Afghanistan, they had balloons that they sent up that had cameras on them.
Right.
And they would be able to look around 360 degrees around that, the outside of the bases and the different forward-located areas to see where the enemy action was, what was taking place with the infrared and everything else. So they had a better eyes on. We did not have those in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
In Iraq, the intel was either through a lot of mouth-to-mouth, or it was information that was found out by somebody that was outside the wire, whether it's soldiers or convoys. That feedback that came in is what was utilized to find out what different types of IEDs they were using, what type of enemy action. We talked about bongo trucks, which were white Toyota trucks with stake sight, and there was usually a machine gun, or they were we had a bongo truck that would drive along MSR-8, which is Main Supply Route 8, across in front of Fallujah. Every afternoon, they had a flip top on the top. They would open it up, fire three mortar rounds onto the base, close the top, and keep taking off. And they would show up at different times of the day. So you never knew. And there's bongo trucks. They all look alike. They're all going down the road.
All of them.
They're all white. And sometimes they got sheep in them or goats. They got people loaded in the back of them. Sometimes they're mortars in them.
Sounds too familiar from Balad.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's how they blended in with the normal traffic and utilized that capability to fire upon us downrange.
Yep. Yeah, it's, you know, as people would go out or even just being on inside the wire, you know, you'd be sitting there and then all of a sudden you could just hear this whistle and you'd know, all right, is it going to be close or is it not? You know, you can kind of judge off that initial sound and you're like, all right, well, I'm just going to carry on. I'm going to keep sleeping, or I'm going to go run somewhere real quick and make sure I'm safe for the next 30 minutes.
We had just come back from a mission. It was probably, I had breakfast. It was probably about 07 in the morning. I had just laid my head down, and kaboom, there's a loud explosion. We were in the Fallujah Army Republican Guard barracks, individual concrete rooms. And it was like it landed the next room over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ran outside, and as I ran outside, within 50 yards of where we were at, the smoke was passing by where it had blown up just outside the gate, right where exactly where we were at, 50 yards away, and the smoke was still blowing past us. I grabbed my camera, took it with me. I have a picture somewhere of the smoke that had, from that explosion that had just happened. It was drifting past my, where I was staying, where my hooch, where my berthing was.
Which is crazy, you know. Usually they aren't getting too close, you know.
They're
shooting these mortars out of, like, firework cannons, basically, you know.
Basically, yeah.
And, you know, it's not very accurate. They're just kind of popping shots and hoping something lands.
Yeah. And getting lucky.
Yeah.
And fortunately, that was there was nobody outside and I say the gate, it's a concrete block wall that goes around, like, the little compound we were at. And it landed literally just a few feet outside the wall. The wall is what kept it from exploding, all that fragmentation coming into where our berthing was. And so, yeah, it's every day, every second, every minute you're there, you just don't know what's going to happen. Every moment of your life while you're there is a question mark.
You know, you just kind of, you expect the worst and you prepare for it. And that's all you can do. And, you know, that's kind of what the job was, hey, we're preparing for the worst for every situation. No matter what it is, we're always going to prepare for the worst, because if we don't, that's somebody's life on the line.
Complacency kills.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't understand what complacency is, but that's one of the things that we saw in combat. You had to be on your guard 150% of the time, because as soon as you let your guard down, you forget your firearm, you forget your helmet, you forget your flak, whatever else, something's going to happen, and Murphy's Law, if it can happen, it will. And we saw that on a minute-by-minute, sometimes second-by-second basis, whether we were in the wire or outside the wire.
You know, it's
constantly had to be on your guard.
It's funny you say that. I had a E4 with me named Murphy, and anytime something bad would happen, we'd be sitting in the skiff, and we'd call him in. It'd be 2, 3 in the morning. Murphy, what'd you do? And
he probably got tired. Yeah.
Didn't matter what happened, we'd always just call him in, just mess with him. But, you know, half the time you get by over there by joking around and stuff like that. You have to.
Otherwise, the fear and everything else will overcome you.
Yeah.
And so, and it's not tossing it to the wind. It's being aware of what's going on, but trying to make the best of a bad situation. War is, they say war is hell, but that doesn't describe it.
No.
That's just a term that's thrown out there. It has no bearing on the fear, on the sweat, on the adrenaline, on the bleeding, whatever it is. It can just be overpowering in your life. And that's why you have buddies.
Yep.
Your buddies are what help you get through it. That and the grace of God. But your buddies would help you deal with that on a moment, day by day. That's who you go to, you cry with, you laugh with, you get mad at, you know, all the things. And then you come back together as a team, you know, all these different emotions that you literally are, sometimes you're forced to experience because you don't choose it. Because none of us knew what we were going into when we went. We just knew we were going to Iraq.
Yep.
And who knows what's going to take place while we're there.
You know, and it's a crazy thought to give war a meaning. Because war for you was something way different than it was for me. You know, I'm sitting inside a skiff, in my fancy little skiff with no windows. And, you know, it's gathering intel from all different places, making sure that people are safe, making sure that we're getting the bad guys. And, you know, my fear for my life was, you know, if one of those mortars hits me, pretty close. Sometimes it was a little more than that. But, you know, war for me was maybe watching a camera somewhere and seeing people blow up or making sure that that's our guy, making sure that the enemy is the enemy. And, yeah, for me, it was, you know, in some cases, it wasn't that. Some cases, it was watching our guys.
And we need to take a break. We'll continue this as soon as we come back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Happy holidays from Reading Electric Utility, your community-owned electric utility for 100 years. On behalf of all REU employees, we are wishing you a safe and happy holiday season. Please remember, holiday safety starts with you. Never overload an extension cord or electrical circuit. Make sure extension cords and lights are rated for outdoor use. And remember, never to expose electrical outlets or connections to rain. Reading Electric Utility has been honored to serve you in 2021 and wishes you and your family a happy and healthy new year.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300 a reputation for excellence since 1965.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
My dearest son, it's almost June. I hope this letter catches up with you and finds you well. It's been dry, but they're calling for rain. And everything's the same old same in Johnsonville. Your stubborn old daddy ain't said too much, but I'm sure you know he sends his love. And she goes on in a letter from home. I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared, and our boots ain't muddy, and they all laugh like there's something funny about the way I talk when I say mama sends her best, y'all. I fold it up and put it in my shirt, pick up my gun and get back to work, and it keeps me driving on, waiting on letters from home. My dearest love, it's almost dawn. I've been lying here all night long, wondering where you might be. I saw your mama and I showed her the ring. Man on a television said something, so I couldn't sleep. But I'll be alright, I'm just missing you. And this is me kissing you. X's and O's in a letter from home. I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared, and our butts ain't muddy, and they all laugh, cause she calls me honey, but they take it hard, cause I don't read the good part. I fold it up and put it in my shirt, pick up my gun and get back to work, and it keeps me driving on, waiting on letters from home.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest once more is Andrew Tuggle, Veteran Service Officer for Simpson University, United States Army Intelligence, and Iraqi veteran out of Balad, North Iraq. And so I want to talk a little bit more about your what your duties were there, and then I want to talk a little bit about your transition back home.
Yeah.
And we're coming up on the last half hour of the program. And talking about leaving the Army and what it was like to try to find yourself as you came back, changing from the combat mission and the intel mission overseas and then coming back to the home mission and trying to integrate back into coming home, and things have changed.
Yeah, so, you know, coming back from an intel community that are active missions were, well, active missions, you know.
It was, and you flew drones?
I didn't fly them, no.
Oh, no, you monitored the intel from the drone.
I monitored the intel from it. I went back to TRADOC, and TRADOC is kind of where your A schools are at for Navy or where your basic training's at. So it's just this kind of, I went back to the schoolhouse that taught me how to be an intel person and taught those instructors how to do their job. So it was, you know, it was just a full circle, you know, going from, from telling a 05, "Hey, Didi, how are you doing today?" To going back to Tradoc, where it's I got to make sure my laces are the right way, and I guess I'm just not gonna really do the job I'm was hired to do, and you know, that kind of that transition is where it kind of started for me, figuring out, you know, what was the next steps, what am I gonna do now, and part of that was that initial thought of, well, guess what, I think I'm gonna be heading out. You know, what's that look like for me? And I, you know, going back to the CIA, FBI thought of investigations and going back into that, I kind of set myself up for success and started working towards that.
That's a tough transition. That was really tough for me coming back and having to go to Balboa Naval Hospital for 4 months to get myself my physical capability back. And dealing with a command, a med-hold command, where none of them had been deployed. Mm-hmm. None of them had been in combat. And they're all thinking general Navy. And not having the you don't know what you don't know. And not having the capability to deal with combat. Every one of us that were there on med-hold had just come out of combat out of Iraq or mm-hmm. Afghanistan. And these people hadn't deployed yet or weren't going to deploy right. because they were a different part of the Navy. We were Seabees. We were part of the SEC or the SEAL community because we were out doing the same kind of stuff they were, only they had their missions and we had our right. combat missions. And it was really tough coming back and listening to people be petty about things that had really yes, it's what we're supposed to be doing in the Navy as far as a uniform protocol and that kind of stuff, but it had no bearing on where we had just come from.
Well, yeah, it was an interesting feeling coming back and saying, hey, well, this is what I was doing, and almost feeling bad for saying, almost feeling bad for doing what you were doing and almost feeling like it didn't matter anymore. But, you know, your heart's always there. Your heart still wants to be there. I'm sure you wanted to be back on the streets running guys, making sure they're safe, making sure those operations are successful. For me, I wanted to be back in the intel community doing what I was loving to do. You know, I was a headhunter. I was a target analyst. That was kind of my job, and I wanted to be back there working active missions, doing these things that, you know, I felt great about, felt like I was working towards a goal that, you know, our military was kind of set forth and trying to help protect people and help further that mission. And going back to a command where it's, hey, so, you know, I just came from this place. This is how we did things. Let's rock and roll.
Right.
And their initial thought is, well, that's old you, and the new you need to just throw that out the window. That didn't really happen. You need to be thinking a different way. Like, man, you almost feel bad for coming back to regular Army. Almost feel bad coming back to regular Navy.
That's right. Yeah. I struggled with it. Especially as a chief, I really struggled with it because now that I was back, those that had served in combat that were part of Med Hold came to me because they knew that I was a combat veteran. And it was, chief, what do we do about this? That's not what we did. And it was like, you know, I took a lot of heat from the command for defending my junior troops.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not going to let them take the heat for coming back from the combat zone, being in a certain perception, in a certain mindset, and dealing with their PTSD and everything else. Nobody in the command had ever had PTSD.
Right.
There was no way that they could relate. It's, once again, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Luckily, I had a first sergeant who had his head on straight. He knew what was going on. He had 9 kids working 3 other jobs, also being, you know, part of our command and was a combat veteran. And, you know, he kind of had his head on straight and would have to slap us around every once in a while to make sure we got back in line and you know.
Sometimes that's okay.
Right. Yeah,
because, you know, he cares enough to get you lined up instead of letting you flounder.
Yep. And that's kind of what got me through, you know. It was his first sergeant who just, you know, wanted to backhand us every once in a while. But, you know, he knew it was good for us, knew where we had been, knew knew what it was like. And so that was kind of my only saving grace, really. You know, it was with other E4s, E5s, other people in the command that were on profile the whole time in their careers, and just this kind of this weird hodgepodge of Army soldiers that never really been outside the regular Army or been outside the wire. So, you know, it was a weird thing to come back to.
People really do come back from an extreme op tempo, which is operational, a tempo of what you're doing, where you've been. I mean, you're literally working at times 36 hours a day. Once again, you're dealing with the enemy action. You're surviving along with those around you who are trying to survive. The heightened awareness. Once again, hearing those mortars come in, know that they're non-discretionary. At any given time, one of those could take your life.
Yep. You never know.
No, just like an IED. You just don't know.
Yep. And it was, you know, at the time, you know, it's coming from seeing, you know, IEDs and dogs, IEDs on bicycles, IEDs
in donkeys
on people. You know, they just come up to you and come up and shake your hand. You wouldn't even know for the second that they were carrying something that could end your life. And even being an informant, you know, you don't know.
Green on blue, blue on green.
Yep.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Andrew Tuggle. We'll be right back.
Reading Garden of Lights is taking place November 19th through December 31st at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens by the Sundial Bridge, featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today. Fabulous fall specials going on now at High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane. Also in Roseville and Petaluma. High Noble Safe Company has fireproof and waterproof safes. Protect your guns, cash, and valuables, heirlooms, and collectibles, and important documents. With delivery, moving, and repair service available in Redding, Roseville, and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Reading Garden of Lights is taking place November 19th through December 31st at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens by the Sundial Bridge, featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Tired, I know you're worn, I know you're torn, you're losing all your hope, 'cause you're a long way from home. Oh, I know you're worried, I know you're scared, I'd like to put my arms around you, tell you I care. Hope is in heaven, not far away, just close your eyes. What you say, feel him around you, he's everywhere, reaching to touch you, know that he's there, deep in the heart of a wolf, he hears a soldier's prayer. Ask, he'll protect you, God, where you go. Tears at your soul. Oh, speak to the Father. Say what's on your mind. It just takes a moment. If you'll take the time. Hope is in heaven, not far away. Just close your eyes. He hears what you say. Heard a soldier.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And, you know, that soldier's prayer, it's that's what gets you through every day. And when you come back, that's what helps you get through your day here at home, too. Sometimes it's pretty tough, especially late at night. The devil wants to come out and lie to you and send you down a different road. And he wants you to give up after you've come back and you've done your job and you've been honorable. And so constantly I have to search for a greater strength than my own because I can't do it on my own. And so lots of times late at night, driving down the road by myself, whatever else, it's just me and the good Lord having a conversation. And sometimes that's the only thing that gets me through the days is leaning on the good Lord for his strength and his courage. Hey, you know, we're doing a fundraiser, a holiday food drive right now benefiting military families at Save Mart. And Michelle, who is our Homeward Bound liaison, is there. She's at the table just outside of Save Mart where she's gathering food and donations. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Chief.
How are things going this morning?
It's going good. So we have gotten a few turkeys and one ham and a bunch of little groceries, and we've even got some items for our packing event for next week.
Sounds great.
So it's been good, and people have been very kind and very generous. They're donating both money and items for the holiday meals.
So tell us how long you're going to be there today.
We'll be out here until 8 p.m. tonight.
And, once
and
again,
our goal is to try to get 100 meals for our veteran community and our military families in the area.
That's so awesome. I appreciate your volunteerism being down there and being part of the program for Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. I will be down there later on today. If you haven't been to Save Mart, we want to encourage you to go. It's a brand new grocery store here in our community off of Churn Creek next to the new In-N-Out Burger. It's at 4631 Churn Creek Road, and they are gracious enough to be able to support the our program by allowing us to be there and to gather food items from the customers that come and go. I'd like to encourage you to go down there, try out Save Mart, and while you're there, buy some extra groceries and donate them to our military families in our community. They'll be going out. We've got 100 meals scheduled to be able to give to military families and widows here in our community this next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we'll also be doing this again for Christmas to make sure we get our families taken care of. And if you donate items for sending to the troops overseas, we'd be glad to accept those items as we ship boxes for our boxing event, which is coming up on December 4th. And that will be from 1 to 6 at the VFW Event Center there in Anderson at 3210 West Center Street. For more information, you can call my cell number, and that's 510-8210. And just to thank you again for Michelle for being down there and for helping to man the table for us, or woman the table for us while you're down there and being able to do that. And once again, thank you to all of those who have donated and who continue to support our military and our community through Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome, T. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Once again, our guest this morning is Andrew Tuggle, Simpson University Veteran Service Officer. We're talking about Balad. We're talking about coming back home and doing the transition. And we have about 20 minutes left in the next segment, in this segment. I want to talk about what led you to Simpson and in that part of your life. We were talking about divine intervention and doors opening and doors closing.
Yep.
And if you're paying attention, sometimes those are very obvious. I'm a firm believer. I had a guardian angel on my shoulder the entire time I was in Iraq, and a still small voice that tells you to go left instead of right, or yep, tells you to stop and not go. Many times when I was in Iraq, I just finally got to a point where I just learned to listen to that sixth sense, and that saved our lives many times, is just listening to that. And I'm a firm believer. It was my guardian angel saying, hey, listen up.
It's a divine thing to happen. You know, it's, as I transitioned out, I was on my way to working for Burbank PD. I was going to my last interview, one of two people pretty much guaranteed to get the job, being a military veteran. The other person wasn't. And my nephew, 3 years old, was in the hospital. And he was diagnosed with something called DIPG, which is a cancer that's in the pons of his brain. And it completely got rid of his motor movements, it was incurable. And the second that I heard that he was in the hospital, I kind of dropped my career path of wanting to do FBI, CIA. I was like, well, this is it. This isn't for me. There's something telling me I need to be here. And so I was with family for about a year, got to hang out with the little man for a little while, but he eventually passed away at 4 years old, from cancer. And
I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. He was an awesome little dude, you know, just being able to have him throw cars at me, just those little joys for him. And, I love him to death. What's on my arm. It's all his favorite things. So. From there, I had that question again of what am I going to do? What am I called to do? And, I went and worked in behavioral health over at Travis Air Force Base for kids with autism and, working with military families. And tell you what, going into military family homes, it's a safe space every single time. You know, it's a familiar thing to be with another veteran, to be with another military member. And, eventually just kind of got burned out of working with kids and working these 12, 16 hour days, not really getting paid too much. And, again, divine intervention. I came to visit my brother up here in Reading and saw a position open at Simpson University for Director of Veteran Affairs. And applied for it, got the job within the next couple weeks.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And kind of took over the program that had been vacant for about 6 months, and it was needing somebody to come into that role. And it was just, you know, things just continued to push me in the right directions. And, you know, you just got to listen and keep going.
Well, sometimes that's the biggest factor in all of our lives is we need to stop talking and use two ears to listen. I think that's why the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth.
No kidding.
But some people's mouth bleed over and you can't hear anything through the ears. And so in situational awareness,
right?
You have to be willing to listen in order to hear. And you have to be willing to hear as you listen. And a lot of people just want to do their own thing. They don't care. They're not paying attention. They're selfish. Their ego is greater than their common sense. And even veterans coming back and veterans who have served, sometimes we get everything confused. I mean, you have to. It's a choice. It's a choice to listen. It's a choice to listen to God, and it's a choice to have the faith to know that He's going to take care of you as you move forward.
No kidding.
And that faith factor. And that's what it is. It's a faith factor, especially after being in combat. I have to constantly remind myself, hey, you're not in charge here. Somebody else is in charge here. And you've got to listen to what's going on. Because a lot of times, you know, I'll be up front. My life is not my own. I'm on a raft going through life without a paddle. And the good Lord takes me down the river where He wants me to go. And, you know, thankfully, my second chance coming back from Iraq is to be able to offer these programs that we have back to our veterans and our community, just like you're able to do that to Simpson University. We're up on a break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, I'm Janet McCarn, one of the owners of Orchard Nutrition Center. We are proud to be joining KCNR in sending holiday greetings and wishes to all our veterans and those currently serving our country and to their families waiting at home. It is a huge sacrifice they make for our country, and Orchard Nutrition Center is proud to honor our veterans every day with a 10% in-store discount. Sending warm wishes from the Orchard Nutrition Center family to all our veterans today and all year long. Thank you for your service.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and The Deep Thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle guy.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
It's the guts and it's the glory, 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the Pledge of Allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue. Lady down. The swamps of Louisiana, to the golden coast of California, Uncle Sam's the only family he's got. His purple heartbeat won't stop, and his 18th birthday was the day he was born.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest again this morning is Andrew Tuggle, Simpson University Veteran Service Officer and United States Army Iraqi Veteran. And thank you again, Andrew, for being with us. We're in our last segment right now. And we've talked about your career. We've talked about being in the combat. We've talked about putting our faith in God and coming home. And yep. and we know that there's a greater source out there that is part of the controlling factor of our lives.
Absolutely.
And being able to come home, knowing that you could have lost your life there, and this is a second chance at life coming back from the combat zone. And so you've just gotten the job at as the Veteran Service Officer out there at Simpson. Tell us a little bit about what you do out there at Simpson and some of the people's lives that you deal with and how things have changed for them and bringing them into the program. The program is there to help veterans get reengaged, to get an education, be able to integrate back into our civilian society and being a vital part of the success and not fall through the cracks.
And, you know, that's exactly right. You know, the title of my center is the Veteran Success Center. And kind of how it came about was, you know, there was a guy who saw a need for promoting veteran success at the school. He did a great job, Navy veteran.
Yes, I knew him.
Yeah, and, you know, he's down in Florida having a great old time now and kind of took over
that. Corpsman.
Yep, he's a corpsman for the Navy. And you know, I took over that position. And you know, there's just huge need for not only having a place, a safe space at a university for veterans to go to, but also the need for somebody to help with that transition. not only for education. So that's kind of, you know, the main deal of being at a university is getting their education, making sure that it's paid for, making sure that they're taken care of in the community. The other piece that we kind of offer is right now we have a nice spot in a modular building that's for our Veteran Success Center. Unfortunately, that's going away this summer, and they're building a new STEM building, and we're actually fundraising for it right now. So that's they're looking towards probably 2022, 2025, just making sure that we have all those funds. And that's going to house our new Veteran Center.
Good.
So, you know, just being able to give back into that, rebuild that Veteran Center and be able to offer all those, entities inside, you know, having a canteen, having computers for them to do career services, to do their homework, to be able to print.
Almost just like a USO.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly like a USO,
yeah.
You know, just, as well, you know, being at Simpson, we have, so many different.
Simpson's a private university.
Or a private university.
Christian
correct.
University.
Yep.
Yes.
And so, you know, being a smaller university right now, we're servicing about 52 veterans. We have about 67 total, veterans and dependents throughout the entire school. So we're probably about 5% of the school population right now. But, just being able to service those veterans, not only through education, but, you know, through getting them in, plugged into the community.
I think sometimes people are afraid of the word university versus junior college,
yeah.
Or just college. And so, tell us, you know, I know when I was, you know, trying to get ready to go to college and that kind of stuff that I was intimidated by the word university, as a young man. And so, tell us, maybe not how simple it is to get into Simpson, but, some of the benefits and the capability of getting into Simpson, yeah. Especially with your military benefits capability.
So right now we actually have the number one nursing program in all of California. So which is great.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a huge program right now that we're bringing a lot of veterans, a lot of corpsmen, a lot of Air Force medics, a lot of people are coming into the program. And, you know, right now they have some of the lowest requirements at 3.2 GPA and having to get a 78% on their TEAS exam, which is kind of their entrance exam to the program. It's a little bit higher than some of the community colleges, but it's a lot more directed program. It's a 4-year degree. And not only that, just being able to be in a classroom where you have 20 students instead of 200 students.
Can military personnel transfer any of their education into the university?
They can. So not only if they took, you know, say if they went to AMU, you know, American Military University, they did some courses, but if they have their joint transcripts, from the military, from basic training, from their AIT or their A school, that all counts towards credits towards going to school.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so we, you know, we have our undergraduate program that, you know, we have so many different new programs. We have engineering. We have a computer information systems. We have kinesiology. We have our nursing program as well. We have an adult studies program, which is great for our military because most of our military members are, you know, older, have families, have kids, need to work a full-time job. And it's, oh man, it's pennies compared to work in the undergraduate program. And, you know, it just gives them a chance to go back to school.
Sometimes that's the most difficult time is, trying to finish your education or continue it when you have a full life you're living, like you said, with kids and wife and you're juggling that with a job and yet you're still trying to educate yourself and better yourself as you move forward.
Right. You know, and the great part is being a private university, not only are you going to have kind of a one-on-one with your professors, but also if you have VA benefits, your Montgomery GI Bill, your post-9/11 GI Bill, you have dependents that want to use benefits, for the most part, if you're coming to Simpson, you're going to be taken care of.
Now, if you're a 100% disabled veteran, there's more benefits for your kids, right?
There is. There's a couple programs. Unfortunately, being a private university, we don't qualify for some of the programs like the CalVet fee waiver program that some of the universities, the bigger universities and state schools can do.
Right. But they're not here. You guys are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we're kind of Redding's hometown university, you know, we're us in Shasta College. We're here to service you guys to make sure you guys can not only further your education, but hopefully further your career and set you on the right path to where you want to be.
Hey, well, you know, we want to be able to get that information out. We're coming up on 1 minute, and we're right down to the wire. And once again, Andrew, I want to say thank you for being here. You're always welcome to come back. We can talk more about your service. We can talk more about capability for Simpson. And But the biggest thing is we just want people to know that these opportunities are here in our community for our veterans and for their families.
Absolutely.
And so if you're a veteran out there, doesn't matter whether you're young and old, young or old, these benefits are available, and you should call. And I called your phone number there yesterday. I just looked up Simpson University Veterans Benefits, and boom, your phone number came up online. And then I just called the number, and you answered the phone. Boom, we had a great conversation, and you're here today. So you're really easy to get a hold of as far as calling the university and when you're there.
Yep.
And so once again, we want to encourage our veterans in our community. If you're looking for an education, you want something that's a little different than Shasta College, this is that opportunity for you. Anything else you'd like to add for the last, our last segment here?
You know, it doesn't matter how old, how young, dependents, doesn't matter if they're in high school and you want them to use benefits, send them my way. And even if Simpson isn't the place for you, we can at least get the ball rolling to make sure you get into the right spot. So if you're wanting to reach out, you know, we're at 2211 College View Drive, just off of 299. And Churn Creek up that way. As well, you can give me a call at 530-226-4140 is my personal number.
Andrew Tuggle, thank you for being here. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you for being in Iraq and doing what you did there.
Thank you, Rob.
And we, like I said, we welcome you back. Any opportunity you'd like to come back and talk about more of about the school or yourself and your duty. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll see you next time.
Born by God's dear grace. KCNR, Shasta.